And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Anna.
Hello, I'm here.
And Jordan.
First of my name.
And Joe.
Like, second of my name. Ah. I don't know, my grandpa skipped a generation, so I guess back to first.
Carries on.
Yeah.
Can you be a junior of a grandparent?
No, that's why it resets.
Can you be a second of a...
I guess it'd be unless you have a firm genealogical sort of family plot. It's hard to not reset.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if your great-great-great-great-grandfather had your name?
Exactly.
I think you'd have his name.
Doesn't the middle name ruin it too? Because I have my dad's middle name, but I'm not a junior. There's a lot to it. To be a junior.
Sounds complicated like mine. I was named after both my grandparents.
Yeah, you have to... There's a lot of rules to being a junior.
Purposefully. And it's even harder to be the third.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same rules apply, but we're the third line. And so, that's why...
In a row.
So, yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's aristocratic.
Ooh.
Yep. Gives you that strong vibe of being better than people. Because just... based on the complexity of your names, you kind of are better than other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this movie, I'll be the second, though, because we both watched a movie that you guys didn't see, so we are better than you guys.
Well, I was busy. I got sidetracked. And
it's been out since Tuesday, Bill. You have no excuse.
I've been busy. I got sidetracked.
Give Edgar Wright your money.
Yeah.
Oh, I plan on it still.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll convert you guys. Don't worry.
Yay.
Until you embrace the people behind the camera, you're just pissing in the wind as far as trying to predict quality.
Oh, and you might have to hold off on that. You know, I think there might be a Ted showing up.
A Ted?
A random Ted may have shown up.
Really?
But he still has to work his way to the room.
But we also have you, Bill.
Hey! Yeah. I'm the named generation... I don't know. I the don't first. Care about genealogy. Yeah. The first among many to follow the... rest of the line. All my seniors were named before, named after me.
Yeah, you got the Wilhelm name, which became Bill.
Mm-hmm. Everyone that existed before me was named after me. That's how great I am.
Everybody.
Just rippled the space-time continuum.
Exactly.
I know it's the original name.
You're Bill.
Yeah.
Every name is a hybrid. I like that, Bill. That's what you should tell people. Like, I was the name that all names came from.
There you go. That's sophistication right there.
You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the Bill and the Bill.
Yes. Well, wouldn't that mean I'm the Bill and the William?
Yeah.
The A and the Y and the Z don't mean anything?
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's talk about... this great thing that we will never see.
I know, I was going to say, no one will be able to buy.
No, we won't be able to find it. It's Nintendo is making a Super NES Classic.
Yes, that's right.
They're like, available for all those lucky five people who pick one up.
And the five other people that pay way more than
prices.
This is a higher price than, you know, this... $79.99.
Has better games, though.
And a Magic Ted appears.
Yeah. Nintendo has set itself up. They're like they have the concert model where they release their few things and then other people sell it on their behalf for inflated prices.
Yeah, Nintendo, they're just losing money. Straight up.
I know.
Yes, you can make a better one with the Raspberry Pi and an Arduino or whatever else, but it's still just the nostalgia.
Yeah, don't you get, what's it, Star Fox 2?
Yoshi, Star Fox.
Earthbound, I think.
Oh, there it is. Super Mario World.
Super Metroid.
Mario Kart.
I would play all those games.
Zelda.
Well, except for Mario Kart. Mario Kart did not age well. Then it has Final Fantasy 3.
Otherwise known as Final Fantasy 6.
So are they re-releasing all these games?
Are they releasing them on... installed on this console.
On the little tiny
Never-before-released Star Fox 2. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, Super Mario RPG.
So you have to have the console to be able to play these games rather than
they're preloaded
old.
On it.
Yeah.
Or you go online and you find somebody who's made an emulator and you put them on your own version.
You play them on whatever you want.
Yeah.
Street Fighter. Yeah, there's some really good ones on there.
So September 29th. Don't look in your local retailers or on Amazon because they're already gone.
Actually, Sega's doing the same thing with their...
The Genesis?
The Genesis.
Huh. You mean they're trying to get back in the hardware? They're like, we're cool again.
I know. Like, you can get your blood in Mortal Kombat with them.
Yeah, I think they're releasing every game.
Are they going to release the...
They're releasing every game for Android or Apple. Yeah, they're releasing one game. Like a week or something like that.
Oh,
and
go on?
Yeah, and it's free. Completely free. And you can get it on your Android. And it has the support for controllers. So if you can get like a Bluetooth controller, they've got support for that. I recently saw that.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, Yoshi's on. Yeah, that's a good... I like that spread of games more than the original Nintendo one.
Yeah, this one has better games on it, I think.
I don't know. If I would have got the older one, it would have been for the, you know, the classicness of...
Does that allow you... to actually plug the games into it so you can also play any games? No, that's not the right size. Okay. I was wondering if maybe they were doing that as well, because that would be extra cool.
I don't know, guys. Would you say that, which console of Nintendo would you say was pinnacle Nintendo?
Well, this one.
This one?
I don't know.
SNES?
I almost think that like 64 had so much with the you need a third arm to figure out how to play this console.
Oh, yeah.
But game-wise.
The 64 had good games, and the controller was kind of weird, but I think they didn't quite know how to manage the 3D platform as well, so they had problems with that. The GameCube had some really good games on it, but there was like Animal Crossing and some like that, but then there was like huge flops like Super Mario Sunshine, which just... the worst Mario game ever.
But then, isn't that also the console where they made altered Mario, like had Mario 3D where you ran around the world? Like it changed the way we play Mario now?
Well, no, that was the 64.
Oh, that was? Okay. Yeah, I'm back on 64 again.
Yeah.
that was probably my favorite Mario
but
still.
They all have their 64. Own, like Super Mario Brothers on the Super Nintendo. That was a pretty...
Yeah, the Super Mario World
Mario
was really good.
Was super good. Yeah, absolutely.
Super Mario World?
I think the Super Nintendo had the best games, and it might have just been that I was at the prime video game playing age, where my parents had enough money to buy them,
the nostalgia
and
factor.
I had the time. Yeah, it could be like absolutely, because you know you did have stuff like GoldenEye, which breaks the video game movie crossover rule.
Mm-hmm.
And the non-existent one.
I know.
Established.
The debunked.
No.
It's like myth busted.
But
there are exceptions to every rule, including this one.
It's reasonable people can disagree on this because competition is so tough with the early generation Nintendo consoles like NES, SNES, 64. I think they're just totally amazing, mind-blowing.
Yeah, definitely.
Consoles.
And, but like, you know, the GameCube, what was it? They had the Metroid for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Was really just amazing. And I like... That will always be my favorite Metroid. I've spent way more time on the original, but Metroid, well, I think it was Prime, was, I think, the best Metroid game, where they did the 3D and they like hid the save screens on by just making the door take a long time to open, which was really, really clever, I think. They like lock you in a room and then say, if you want to open this door, go ahead, and we're not going to show you a loading screen.
It totally pioneered the open world. Open world shooting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, the original Metroid was really open world too. Like you needed stuff to get to the next section, but you could go wherever you wanted. There was another game that was similar. It was called Blaster Master on the NES, and that one was pretty open world, but I don't think they pulled it off quite as well. So
looking at the games, even with like Donkey Kong, this still has quite a few of the classics.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, the NES, I was playing on Commodore 64. I was a PC gamer back then.
Yeah.
And my first console that I, you know, there was Atari, I guess. I had that, the 2600. So I was playing Tank and all that. And then I moved to Xbox. I have quite
that's a weird
jump there.
Yeah, that is a pretty good jump.
So, like, Nintendo was fun at friends' houses.
Yeah, no, I went all the way through, but I was Nintendo all the way. I mean, Atari, had Nintendo games on it because Nintendo made games for Atari. So I had the Atari, then the NES and Super Nintendo. I got the 64. I put it on layaway at Kmart. And then they dropped the price, and I wanted to drop the price on my one in layaway. They wouldn't do it, so I
canceled
my layaway and took a $10 hit and went across the street and bought it from there at the lower price.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Still saved money.
Went GameCube. I had to buy that like secondhand. I had to wait a little bit for it. And then, I mean, I've had Nintendo all the way. The only thing I haven't had is the Switch, so.
You should change that for the one game.
See, and I yeah. think, see.
But I could get that game on the Wii U.
Then get it on the Wii. Is that an Alex?
Maybe.
Why is that? Everyone's crashing.
And Alex has appeared now, too.
Bill, I got your title for this. It's Pod Crashers.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Alex, we're talking about...
any moment.
Peak Nintendo. What console was peak Nintendo, do you think?
Virtual Boy.
That was the best.
No, I got an answer for this that's colored in for my age, but I'm going to say Super Nintendo. Because like that seems, feels like the purest point in Nintendo's history, because it never felt like it was... It felt like they never, like... I know the Mortal Kombat Blood thing was, like, a huge point of controversy for them, but, like, that's the point Nintendo, like, asserted absolute control, like, took a console to, like, its absolute creative end and also had a commercial success. Because, like, the Wii was, like, clearly, like, just built as a money-making machine, and the DS to a lesser extent. But I feel like the SNES and NES were... the SNES and Nintendo 64 were kind of like their heyday in terms of, like, let's just make a powerful system that is going to have good games on it.
Yeah, it is true. I love the family Nintendo where they're like, it's okay if you punch them as long as only sweat comes out.
You punch until they get sweaty.
Yeah, they like if you pause it at just the right time, you could see them vomiting. So,
oh, did they vomit as well? And you could also knock them into the acid pit, and so you could see their skin melt away. So it's pretty family friendly.
And if you did Super Clay Fighter, it wasn't blood; it was clay falling off them. So that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually agree. I mean, everything Alex said. I mean, Super Nintendo was really. Really it. And all the games here, like, I've had tons of hours on all of them. Just love them. In fact, I'm still playing through The Legend of Zelda on my FC Twin at home. A bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should definitely get the Switch, though, because... Or just get Zelda however you can get Zelda.
Yeah, I've got the Wii U, and it's out there for the Wii U. I might pick it up sometime.
Well, I don't know. Because Ocarina of Time will always have a special place in my heart, and so that may remain number one regardless, but this one was so much fun, and it takes so much of your time, so it just glomps onto you and refuses to let go. It's really, really worthwhile.
I've been so busy lately, I haven't even been able to play games, so it's kind of sad.
Have you guys talked about Nintendo's E3 announcements?
No, we didn't. We talked a little bit about E3 a couple weeks ago, but we didn't really get into Nintendo's. So what did you think?
I liked him. I'm a little less excited about Mario Odyssey, other than just like the implications of Mario being able to invade someone's mind. I wasn't excited about that, the new Kirby game, because it looks like they just took like the Kirby 3DS games, whatever engine they used to power that, and like scaled it up for like a home console and then made it multiplayer, which is totally my jam. I'm really excited to play that game. I'm not even sure what it's called. It's like Kirby. I don't know. It's all the Kirby games have dumb names, but this was like Kirby, like
a Kirby in
Crush
time.
Video or something like that.
A Kirby in Time. Yeah.
So you're gonna say
it doesn't make as much sense as a Link in Time, but you know, if all pork chops were perfect, we wouldn't have hot dogs.
I think it's
I don't know if it has a working title yet. I think it's just called Kirby right now.
Kirby coming at you.
It's Kirby.
Kirby trailer.
It's called the new Kirby.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fine. They could just call it the new Kirby. Everybody's going to buy it.
Yeah, Alex.
The nice thing about Kirby games, they need like zero budget and everyone's going to buy them anyway because it's just such a good formula and people like Kirby.
It's true. It's like the Pikmin.
Like, oh, I love the Pikmin games.
Yeah.
I wish they'd bring back Boy and His Blob. They had that for the NES, and it was like the best game.
Oh, dude, they made it for the Wii.
Did they?
Yeah, there's like a new release, Boy and His Blob, that just fell flat on its face, and it was like a super charming platformer.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go check that out.
Because... Yeah, check it out. It's freaking awesome. I've got a signed copy. Bob, whatever his name is, the guy who made the NES version, signed my Wii copy.
Nice.
He didn't have anything to do with it other than just licensing it, but still, it was cool.
Right. No. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Shit, what was that guy's name?
I don't have a good answer for you. You're asking the wrong person.
David Crane. Okay, so I said Bob, but yeah, I wasn't close. See, this is how much I care about this game. I can't remember who made the original.
They call him Bobby.
Bob is short for Dave.
I also just realized that they also talked about which comes out today, the first DLC for Zelda.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Have you seen some of the gameplay they had with that, and what you get out of it?
Mm-mm.
Balloons!
Well, you get to make your Master Sword better, so it doesn't have a cooldown. It's just like, it's always...
Oh, no, that'd break the game. It'd be too easy. No.
To get to that, they drop you off on an island as Naked Link say, survive.
Well, they have a quest that does that anyways. Like, if you swim off to an island to...
That's in the last one, I thought.
No, this is Breath of the Wild. If you go to one of the islands... clear out the end of the map, and then they'll say it's a shrine quest.
Naked Link.
Yeah.
Yeah, Naked and Alone.
Oh.
It's Naked and Alone, but set in Zelda, Stan. Yeah. Jamie's actually playing through that shrine, like, right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
As we speak.
The DLC or the other
one? No. The original one. Okay. We've got the DLC, yeah.
Did you beat it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually excited to get the DLC so I can get the Tingle costume and play it hard mode. Like, those are the two things I want to do. I want to run around looking like Tingle and make the game harder.
Yeah, that game could use a hard mode because there's a brief period where it is a little challenging as you enter the wider world. But as soon as you get, like, Stasis Plus, then it's pretty much you just cut through everything. It becomes very, very easy. And also, it's... very easy to find all the shrines, and the puzzles aren't that bad. And so, yeah, you can collect hearts pretty quickly.
Yeah, but you're a puzzler yourself.
I get puzzled, and I like to be puzzled and solve the puzzles.
But, I mean, I think you're better at puzzles than most.
I don't think so. The puzzles in the shrine quests aren't that bad, actually. They're pretty straightforward.
Right, that's like someone who eats spicy food all the time saying, this isn't spicy at all. Mm. But if you're one who's good at puzzles... then, yeah, they're not going to be hard. Well, I'm not saying that they're not hard. I haven't tried it, but...
Like people who play crossword puzzles all the time.
Yeah. But just based on the experience, like you said, you went through that that one puzzling game. What the heck was that called? Remember you said you did it in the weekend or whatever.
Oh, yeah. What was that game called?
I don't know.
Talos,
yeah.
Catherine?
Actually, I think Talos is part of the Steam sale right now.
Talos is really fun. I love that.
Yeah,
game.
It was. I got it on the Steam sale last year and really, really enjoyed it. So if it is on the Steam sale, you should snag it.
Well, no, Alex. Do you think the shrine puzzles are that difficult?
I thought they were like all the same difficulty, and they're like mid game for a puzzle game level difficulty. Like all the puzzles are about the same difficulty. It felt like the only exception was there's this like the dumb constellation puzzle that you had to do. There's like two of them that were like right in the center of the map that I just looked in the strategy guide because I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like pretty much everyone in the shrines, if I couldn't figure out what you're supposed to do in the puzzle in like 30 seconds, I just pulled open the textbook site strategy guide and used that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, so far, most of them, because since you're really limited in the tools that are required of you, you have either magnetism or magnesis and stasis, and those two are basically the only two. Oh, also the ice. But aside from that, like, it's really easy to find the tools you need to interact with the environment that works around like what you need to do. But
yeah, it wasn't like there wasn't like sitting there trying to nail something with a hookshot over and over again until you realize, oh, I have to use a special type of arrow that I can only get from this dungeon.
Yes, exactly.
Like, there didn't have that problem in Zelda where you get hard stuck just because there was like an unintuitive puzzle that blocked you.
Yeah, and that's something I appreciate. Like, I get infuriated if it's something stupid that is stymieing me. But so far with the Zelda puzzles, I just love them. They're really fun.
They remind me of Portal.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So that actually got me thinking. It might be that I enjoy the Super Nintendo better because I didn't have the internet to help. Like, I could never afford the strategy guides, and I didn't want them because I was an elitist. But now it's just too easy to like look it up online or
cancel your internet
or whatever. So, but I think it does. Like, I think I get more enjoyment out of the game if I can figure out the stuff myself, even if that means that I'm stuck on it for like 6 months.
I know. Well, it's
and then pick it up again later.
Fulfilling. I don't have internet connection at my place, and so if I get stuck,
You gotta call Alex.
What's going on here? And I felt tempted a couple of times because I haven't had trouble in Zelda the puzzles, but some of the villains, like, there were a couple of times where I was like, how do you take these guys down? And I'm pretty happy that I didn't have any online connection because I probably would have just relented and looked it up, but I have the satisfaction of so far I've done the pure run.
I wasted way too much of my youth trying to drag a yo-yo onto different stuff, Willy Beamish, or like trying to click on doors in King's Quest. If it takes more than like 30 seconds to figure something out in a game, I actually always just look it up because I lost too much of my childhood to Sierra.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. The escape from Monkey Island where you have to spray an alligator with mosquito spray or something like that, which is, how does that work?
Monkey Island. That, I'm going to die right now. Excuse me. Some of the jokes, some of the things you had to just use a pun to figure it out. You had to be like, I need a monkey wrench. So you grab a monkey and use him on the thing. And it's like, oh, that worked. Like, what the crap?
Oh, man, Guybrush Threepwood.
The key for the big giant head is a Q-tip, and you stick it in his ear and wiggle it around a little bit. Like, come on. Oh, man.
I think I missed out on that game.
I missed those. Oh, man. So there was two that I'm aware of. There was The Curse of Monkey Island and Escape from Monkey Island. And one of them, I mean, they're both pretty old, but one of them is, like, really old. And, yeah, they're just fantastic if you like the adventures genre, which doesn't really exist anymore.
No, it doesn't.
That's not true. Yeah, it made a huge comeback.
Like, with what?
Telltale Games. Yeah. They've been just whipping them out, like, almost annually.
Whipping them out?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did two or three a year.
Yeah, they did the Walking Dead games. They did those. They did, they're doing, like, a Minecraft thing now. Like, for some reason, like, Minecraft adventure games are a thing. And they also
Batman
did...
too.
I started playing the first chapter of that, and I was like, ooh.
I know, I want to play that.
I'm liking it.
Yeah, I like it a lot, too.
And I played The Walking Dead one when it first came out, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't get really into
it
a lot.
Is it on the PC?
It's on everything.
Yeah,
every console on the PC. You can get it on your phone.
For mobile, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and there's lots of other puzzle games that are sort of indie that you can download. I get them all off the PlayStation Network because, I have The Witness, which is a really good puzzle game. I got Firewatcher, I think that's what it's called. And
Firewatch?
Yeah, Firewatch.
Oh, man. Oh, God, I love that game so much. I think that might be my favorite game of last year.
Oh, that gets me excited. I haven't played it yet. I just started downloading these games that I've been wanting to play. And have you heard of Little Nightmares?
Or actually, I think Firewatch may have come out this year. Yeah, whatever. Firewatch is great. It's awesome. Okay. But no, I've not heard of Nightmares.
Yeah.
Nightmares.
Nightmares. But, Ted, there's adventure games out there. They're just not the big budgeted ones.
You said Telltale Games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I get them on Steam? Is there a...
Yeah.
They have The Wolf Among Us. That one's super awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to.
Ghost of Back to the Future, a series that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's also Telltale. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to get some suggestions after the podcast so I can.
I like
the Strong Bad games are really good too. That's where they first broke into the market.
Strong Bad.
Yeah, they did a Homestar. They did Strong Bad of Homestar Runner fame adventure games,
right?
Like a bunch of them in the WiiWare days, started 2007 or so.
I noticed this. I'm not sure if they're doing it with Xbox, but they started re-releasing pretty awesome adventure games. Like, there's the re-release of Grim Fandango, and
Is that out already? I thought it was just in production.
No, it's out.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and you were saying the Minecraft one. I didn't realize they were making their second season of that already.
They finished up the first one a little bit ago. I want them to do Tales from the Borderland season 2 because that one's really awesome.
Yeah.
It looks like they're kind of working through them. They still got Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot they did Game of Thrones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, they made a ton of games.
I know, they have tons.
And
it's like every IP gets a Telltale Games game.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
They're basically like the Funko of games.
See, Jurassic Park, I didn't know they did that one.
Speaking of IPs getting love, the other big announcement at E3 for Nintendo was 2 Metroid games. They're going to make a side-scroller remake of Metroid 2 for the Game Boy as a 3DS title, and they're going to make Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah.
So hold on to your socks, because they'll be blown off.
Because it was very Switch-heavy, and they were like, no, we didn't forget about the 3DS.
Yeah, it's insane. There's stuff that, like, slated out to 2018 for the 3DS. Like, there's this awesome looking game where people are thinking retail release called Tsushima.
Tsushima?
Tsushima.
Tsushima.
Yeah, it's called Tsushima, and it's a game where it's like a conveyor belt sushi puzzler where you like collect colored plates off the sushi conveyor belt, and then you throw them in batches at like your opponent. So it's like a combat puzzler matching game. It looks super cute. It looks really fun.
Are you excited for Splatoon 2?
Yes. It's like
Splatoon.
It's gonna be my third game for the fourth game for the Switch. I've got 3 right now, so I'm happy to have a fourth one.
Yeah.
That's gonna be so much fun.
So you have Zelda,
Splatoon. I got Zelda. I got Splatoon on pre-order. I've got Snipper Clips, and I got Snake Pass. It's on sale right now. I think it's gonna be on sale through like the first week of July. It's this cool game where you're this goofy cartoony snake that slithers around in ruins, and you can like wrap yourself around like bamboo poles to get like higher up on stuff, and you just collect things. It's like Banjo-Kazooie and Snake on Nokia phones put together.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Are you gonna get Minecraft?
No,
not for the Switch.
Oh yeah.
Nah, I put in my time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I also downloaded finally Stardew Valley, so I'm excited to play that. I hear lots of good stuff.
That was on the Steam sale, wasn't it? Stardew Valley.
I'm not sure.
I think so. Have you guys talked about the Steam sale yet?
No, that's why I brought it up. We were just literally talking about it. But here, let's talk about our sponsor, and then we'll talk about Steam sale. So our sponsor is AMC Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue, Quebec, and you can use your Stubbs program to get points, to get free food and drinks and stuff. And it's totally awesome. Oh. And that's all we're going
to
do.
And Bill, we should also find time to fit in like a brief corn review.
Okay.
And the movie, too.
And the movie. So we're going to talk about...
Movie put out a corn?
Wait, that's right.
Corn put out a movie?
Well, yes, but not recently. But that's a different story. But all right, we'll talk about Steam sale. Alex.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll just read off some stuff I picked up. I picked up this War of Mine. It's like 60% off. I got Master Spy. It's kind of a cool like stealth action game, kind of like Spy versus Spy on the NES, but it's or like Rolling Thunder. I picked up Hollow Knight, which is like I don't think it's quite half off, but it's like the first time it's been on sale, so I picked it up. It looks really cool. I got Dropsy, that weird Devolver Digital adventure game where you're just like this hideous clown that is very loving, but society hates him. I got Beglitch. It's this cool hacking game where you play like an insecure hacker that is fighting other insecure hackers on the internet and, like, I don't know, I guess trying to make them feel better about themselves.
Or what was that one called?
Beglitched.
Beglitched. Okay.
it's super cute. It looks adorable. Like it, when you watch the trailer, it's hard not to fall in love with it. I'll send it to you. And I am.
Yeah.
I got Flint Hook. It's this roguelike side scroller where your only weapon's basically like a hook shot or like the Metroid claw, and you just fly around everywhere on that.
That sounds like Bionic Commando. Did you ever play that?
Yeah, it's a lot like Bionic Commando. It's you use a mouse to to shoot. So it's kind of like the first platformer for a PC that is kind of nice to have a mouse for. I thought that was really cool. And I got Deadly Premonition, the director's cut, often regarded as the best worst game of all time.
I thought that was Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
That one's like intentionally bad, but I think Deadly Premonition, they were in earnest.
Is that Japanese? I just
assumed. No, it's the Shower with Your Dad Simulator or Deadly Premonition. Actually, they might both be. They may both be. I haven't played Deadly Premonition yet, but I'm super excited. It looks like if Twin Peaks were done by an untalented hack instead of a talented hack, and were set in a Resident Evil gameplay universe.
I like that it's the director's cut.
Yeah, and I also like this discount 90%. That's a good sign for for a AAA budget title.
Yeah. Going through them. So we did find Telltale Games, Tales from the Borderland. There's 75% off.
Ooh, has anyone heard of Oxenfree?
No. Explain.
Well, I just hear good things about it, so I was curious if there's positive feedback.
You're like, you want to know more. It's a supernatural thriller about a group of friends who unwillingly open a ghostly rift.
That happens.
You are Alex. Dang, Alex.
Why do you always got to be opening rifts in time and space, Alex?
Yeah.
And you just have brought your Jonas brother.
Yeah. And you're bringing your stepbrother, Jonas, along. Yeah. The overnight island party. Gone horrifically wrong. Wow.
Oh, you get the soundtrack.
I think if you go to an overnight island party, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that's going to be a good idea on paper, and then just I don't know how that's going to work well.
It's going to be great.
You're going to be on an island. And, yeah. I mean, unless there's something else on the island other than the island.
Yeah, you get the amphibious masked zombie guy who's after everyone.
What was that recent disaster with Firefest? Did you guys hear about that?
No.
So
is it like discount Burning Man?
No, it was like high end. So like this artist, I can't remember, it's like a recording artist of some kind, and he like went to this island and was like, this place is amazing, we should throw a event here. And so he like do fire, F-Y-R-E, and then disaster. So it was really expensive. They were like $10,000 a ticket or something like that. Super expensive.
Yikes.
Right? So there's all these like rich kids going to it. Yeah, that's it. In the Bahamas. And they get there, and the places where they're supposed to stay aren't even set up. They don't have any locks or anything on there, so they can't like take their valuables and store them anywhere there. There's not water to the most of the place. They don't have any.
I did hear about this. Wasn't this like?
This wasn't too long ago.
April?
Yeah,
April 30th. Yeah. Okay. I vaguely remember hearing something because it was like it lives and dies on social media because it was the most amazing thing. Everyone was loving it. Mm-hmm. And they did such a terrible job setting it up.
Just wasn't implemented. Yeah. And so. Yeah, like they get there, and a lot of people like wanted to leave as soon as they got there because it was so but they couldn't because there were so many flights coming in, they wouldn't have any flights going out. And then when people realized people were starting to bail, like everybody was trying to leave, and yeah, it was just
it's a refugee city camp.
It's like a refugee city, but everybody's a trust fund kid.
Exactly,
that's exactly.
It's like, please.
They just sold tickets to that. Like on the dark net, they could have just posted that event on like dark Facebook or whatever. Like, come watch a bunch of trust fund kids get very terrified in airports,
locked up in their fences.
Yeah, tickets range from $500 to $12,000.
Yeah. So
how can it range that much? You're on an island.
I don't know. They had the, you know, the port of Hottie included with their
your own personal one for the $12,000.
I don't know. Not your personal one. You just had a porta potty access. The $500 one.
It's your room. Yeah. It's where you sleep.
The $500 one, they had to dig a hole.
Actually, Bill, that brings to mind when you were at the concert searching for the bathroom, was the line pretty long?
It was all right. Because apparently, there was a short one elsewhere for Korn. Really? Yeah.
I know, I got lucky with mine because then it got long.
Yeah. Well, it still, there was plenty of view. I watched the show. The line was like, oh, I'm just going to be standing here watching the show. And it was more entertaining watching everyone with their... I could see this range of cell phone cameras.
I know. Especially down towards the pits is funny.
Yeah. The new lighters.
Yep.
That's right.
I don't want to say who this was, but pretend it's me. It's a close friend, but just pretend it's me. And you'll get the same image. About the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert at that venue a while ago. This friend of mine happened to have like really, really bad diarrhea, but they got Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets and they wanted to go. They wanted to see Lynyrd Skynyrd. They went there anyway and thought, you know what? If I take some of this anti-constipation medicine or some of this constipation, anti-diarrhea medicine, that's the one.
Yeah.
Take some of that. Maybe it'll be okay. Maybe I can go Lynyrd Skynyrd and things will be fine. And they pounded the anti-diarrheal medicine. They managed to make it through, and I didn't get any details if it was like a close call or if it was like leave all the doors open between the garage to the toilet open and then just plant butt on seat. But when they got home and examined the box, because their stomach still hurt a little bit, they learned that the caplets that they popped out of the blister pack were actually anti-constipation medicine. And someone had just like swapped the packets, not paying attention to where they were going. And it was just someone that was living with them that happened to do that swap on them. So going to Lynyrd Skynyrd concert with diarrhea while pounding X-Lax.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse for you, the bathroom line.
Yeah.
That was their Vietnam.
That was definitely not you, Alex.
You can imagine. I'll say it wasn't me, but definitely imagine me if you could. I wish I did that. I wish I had that magic urge to wear.
Yeah, but did you guys like or hate the Korn concert?
Korn concert is pretty epic.
It didn't rain, so that was awesome.
I know. We had teased with horrible weather that suddenly got better.
Joe?
So, it was good that they came here. Actually, I ended up posting on Instagram. The drummer for Islander responded to like pretty much everyone who hashtag Islander. Mm-hmm. And we're like, hey, this is, he was like, thanks for coming out. I was like, this was awesome. Glad you guys could come. You should come again. He's like, yeah, we really want to. That was fun. Like he responded to my message to him.
Oh, I saw that.
He sounds like a super nice guy. Do you have any words for his band, Joe?
Yeah, that being said, I don't like them.
See, I felt a little retro-ish, but I enjoyed them.
They had their curious lyric choices. Yeah. Like, are you asleep or awake? Yeah. I don't know.
How is that a curious word choice? That's like a word choice you hear in tons of crappy music.
I know. Well, that's a thing if you're trying to pitch yourself as a good band, it's a curious lyric to
actually, I was going
to
say, I thought that was
put and choose to perform. Because usually... at concerts, you're choosing your best of your best most of the time, mixed with a couple different ones. But for the most part, especially if you're like the bottom tier band, if you got four good songs, you're playing all four of your good songs.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to play like, oh, this is my obscure song off the album no one heard. Yeah.
That'd be great. Just do some deep cuts. Like, they're just things that you thought of on the way to the venue.
Yeah.
They're like, these are the ones that are best chance that you might recognize us.
We're releasing our ballad right now.
Exactly.
Nobody knows any of our other songs, but we're doing a ballad.
Alex, you would like it too.
Nothing's wrong. Just bands don't get away with ballads until they've got like a couple platinum records out.
Yeah, to do your slow songs. Yeah, that's true. And you have to be the headliner too to slow it down because you have to just keep ramping it up to the main band. That's why everyone was pissed that Stone Sour didn't do Bother, but I was like, well, they'd probably do it when they're the headliner band.
Yeah.
So I probably would have gone if Baby Metal would have come to Pocatello, but not a huge
they're off the tour by then.
Well, no, they just skipped Pocatello, was my understanding. They're going Boise, Pocatello, Salt Lake City, and Baby Metal's just skipping Pocatello, but they're on after and before. And I didn't want to.
Bill, do you like their do you listen to their, do you watch their videos, or do you like their actual music? Like, do you sit it
Baby
down?
Metal?
Because
I listen to their music. I like their music.
Yeah, my cousin showed me them. They seem pretty gimmicky.
I programmed to them. I really enjoy the. I like the sound and everything, and I bet they have a good show. I've seen a little bit like from YouTube or whatnot, and they look like they put on a good show. So.
Yeah.
They're pretty Baby Metal's to look.
Interesting
at.
To
yeah.
Because they're like a bunch of kids who
in their schoolgirl outfits, yeah.
So
I can't find who was what.
If you're a small band, I don't know why you wouldn't do a costume.
Baby Metal stopped touring with them on 6/25, so yes.
Bam! Fake news, Ted. Fake news.
6/25 is when Baby Metal. So from 6/16 to 6/25 is Korn with Stone Sour, Baby Metal, Yela Wolf, and Islander. From 6/19 to 8/2 is Korn with Stone Sour, Skrillex, Yela Wolf, and Dead. So in other words, Islander kind of.
Skrillex.
Oh yeah, they
Skrillex,
left after
not
that.
Skrillex.
Yes,
yeah, I thought Skrillex was a weird choice for.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, well,
they
I
did a song with Korn though.
Yeah. Well, even when the guy was selling the knockoff shirts at half price,
I know
an additional $5
in his sketchy bag. Liked walking around.
That shirt said Skrillex on it. That's why I was like, what? I think that's why I read it.
Because he visited us sober, and then he was like, I think they had a few drinks. I'll try them.
Yeah. He's like, you want my $10 shirts?
Yeah, right.
They sold 2 shirts so they could buy some booze.
I didn't go, but I heard that they might have messed up and said, you know, how you feel in Oregon?
Yeah.
Instead of Idaho?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's hear it for Pocatello, Oregon, everyone.
Yeah, that's Corey Taylor.
Well, he didn't say Pocatello, Oregon, but he just kept going, can you hear me, Oregon? And he felt bad. I was honest.
I was glad they finally corrected him. He did his whole song, but it was epic, though, because I recorded both of his speeches, and they're both really funny. I've watched that more than any of the other videos of the concert.
There you go.
I cheered for Oregon every time, and I didn't cheer for Idaho once.
Aww. That's
right.
Was it actually quiet? Because, like, my sister went to the concert, and she said that when they said Oregon, it's like... little chirping.
Well, people were yelling. I think people started cheering, but it definitely started getting quieter as he kept digging in.
Oh.
In fact, the more he was like, why aren't people cheering? Like, come on, Oregon! And people were like,
I think
what?
The first time I heard him say, like, we got people coming all the way from Oregon, so I was like, woo! Thinking he was saying that, but then when he kept saying Oregon, I was like, all right.
I thought, like, can they hear us in Oregon? I'm like...
He's like, well, actually, this used to be the Oregon Territory, you are wrong.
You're technically here.
This is like traditionalist, guys.
One of those Alice Cooper moments from Wayne's World, where they like go to talk to him, and he's like, super intelligent, and they were like, wait, we were just expecting a spacehead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they still have quite a few more shows going on. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember where we were at.
The Boise one was the last one that Baby Metal was at.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess I was mistaken. I apologize.
But no, you weren't.
It
completely.
Never happens
it just Baby Metal was in
Boise.
Yeah,
they were in Boise, but they're not in
Salt prior to Pocatello.
Yeah.
So there will be a lot to live up to because we're also going to the Green Day concert in August. And
where are they?
What's that?
Where are they? Sorry.
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake, yeah.
Yeah. And so... Slipknot is my favorite concert I've been to, but Korn, they put on a tremendous show, and Stone Sour was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mostly missed Islander, so I'm pretty neutral about that, but
So how many concerts would you say you've been to?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
I know. I have 7 this year.
No, I mean total.
No, this year I'm going to 7 concerts.
And that's all the concerts you've ever been to?
No, I've been doing more than that too, but
He lost count.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I just, because I went to see Metallica back in the late 90s, and I've seen VNV Nation, and that's it. So
yeah, you got to go to more concerts, Ted. It's way better. Really fun.
Maybe they're loud, and I'm getting too old for that crap.
I'm never too old for that crap.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of, like, seniors. Well, not a bunch of senior citizens. There were senior citizens.
Yeah, there
was
old people there. Yeah.
I won't call it a concert, but I did see the President of the United States at a fair type thing in Illinois. It was called Celebration, and they were amazing. So
yeah, they're a good band.
So we should probably wrap a few things up. A little.
Oh, yeah, speaking of other good music, then we watched a movie.
Yes. With a
Baby
great
Driver.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, that had an excellent soundtrack.
Oh, Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Why didn't anybody tell me we were going to see that?
You guys should have looked it up on your own. It was a test, and you all failed.
I guess so.
I thought everyone was going. I just made that assumption.
Yeah.
I ditched someone who is out in Boise. I was going to have her come along, but I was like, no, I'm going with my group.
And then the group didn't show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally forgot. You guys went. I'm like, oh, I should remember. And then... Totally forgot.
Yeah, it was a super awesome movie. It's good old Edgar Wright doing hopefully his first domestic box office success, hopefully. Right. So it's
looking that way. It's top at box office right now.
All right.
Jordan, I have to rewatch Shaun of the Dead because it's either going to be 3 or 4. Because like I was saying, out of all of his movies, Scott Pilgrim and Hot Fuzz are better, but it might be tied or just slightly under Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
But it's super awesome. Its editing's really good.
Editing is the best part about it because...
So the story looked just kind of dumb.
It doesn't matter.
No, really cool.
I figured it was going to be a good soundtrack movie.
No, and the story actually has a lot of cool like turns and stuff too that you can't really predict. Because it has... Like the trailer shows the basic premise of it where he's just
transporter?
Like... The driver.
It's
the transporter.
Yeah. There's a twist.
It's the execution of the story because the story... It is effectively a generic heist sort of thing, but... I guess
the
you
Furious
can.
15.
It might as well be, but it's.
It doesn't
execution.
Have its tanks and all that stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The execution, because it is your. We need to. Criminals trying to rob something that and so forth.
Drive
that,
fancy.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. I don't want to sound like I. You know, I love those movies. Like I. But like the stories are never good in them. I don't know.
No,
but
this one's pretty cool.
Execution.
Yeah,
it's
really
so well done. Like the way the music matches everything and the just the dialogue.
And all the characters are really
the
fun.
Characters are really, really awesome.
It's whether you root for them or they're a giant jerk, like John Hammond, Jamie Foxx and stuff too, and Kevin Spacey's kind of in the middle of the two as far as being hate and like him. But even when you hate him, you just love to hate them.
Yeah.
But it is. And it's all practical effects. That's what I was telling you, Bill. You guys were all saying practical effects are too expensive. $40 million budget.
Actually,
probably $35
million. Yeah, it's $34 million.
Yeah, $34 million. And it's all practical, all the driving and stuff you see in it. So you have real physics and real stunt drivers.
It's hard to green screen that sort of thing. And do
I mean,
it right.
Fast and Furious does it all the time.
Yeah, Fast and Furious.
Not well.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Guess who no longer watches those? It's hard to do those because it's really easy to see it and just intuitively know that's not right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot, that's what we're saying. Most of the CGI, you look at it and say, that's not right. That's the problem with it when you over-rely on it.
I don't know. Maybe I have like some sort of problem with my perceptions. I forget who people are all the time and everything. But like, you guys had to tell me that people were CG'd in Star Wars.
Well,
I mean, other than Princess Leia, obviously, but like... But
just watch these things 10 years down the line and then it'll just click in your brain because your eyes will become more attuned to more sophisticated
CG. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
You're like...
Go back and watch Final Fantasy, the movie.
I know, it's so terrible.
Yeah, I watched it on DVD the other day. I was like, oh, God. Ah, it's so bad.
Actually, it wasn't even like the... Practical effects still work. I mean...
It makes them like the timeless movies.
Or The Dark Knight. They did a great job.
Yeah.
I was just talking about like these building these epic sets, you know, like Batman or all that. That's where usually you know,
well,
like
it's
tons
still
of
cheaper
money
though, because that's the thing. Because the CG,
you think a Tim Burton set is cheaper?
No, CG. That's what I mean. Like, find me an all CG green screen movie that's like not $100 million plus budget. All the movies that come out, if they're CG, they're a ripoff, and you can make your solid. But it's
true to a certain magnitude, because you're not going to build a pyramid.
Yeah.
That would be way too expensive. So it's cheaper to CG that. And so when you have something like, and yeah, I have to mention this every time, Game of Thrones, they CG a lot of the background environments. So the, what is it? The, not the palette, like the background, there's a specific word for it. But yeah, all of that. That is usually altered or CG to a certain degree, and they can do it well enough.
Yeah,
that it's not noticeable, but like the in your face sort of action stuff, yeah, they need to be much more subtle and
like the
practical.
Apes movie, the CG is really great. Because I'm saying it has to go away, but I'm saying the problem with CG is that like this movie, you can have 100% practical, and that movie's freaking timeless. Like, that movie will always look good. I can watch it 15 years from now. Baby Driver's going to be awesome. And then you have all CG, and it's garbage in, like, 10 years. And so you have to use it only if you complement it. Like, if you kind of combine it. Because, like I said, I'll probably like the Apes movies. But when you do, when all you're doing is just acting in front of a green screen, and that's all of your sets, those movies age really terribly.
So, wait, are you
like a Captain, like a Captain Tomorrow?
Oh yeah, Captain. Exactly.
Are you? Yeah, that movie looked really cool when it first came out. You go back and watch it. It's just it's
and Sucker
like
Punch
a
too.
Trailer.
Sucker Punch looks ridiculous now.
There are certain exceptions. I think that Jurassic Park hasn't aged. I love the dinosaurs there. Yeah. Terminator.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Terminator.
There's like almost no green screen for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park was like mostly on set.
Yeah.
And Jaws. The shark.
Well, that's no CG.
Yeah, that's no CG at all.
How about Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor?
I'm not looking at the movie, just talking about the CG part.
Yeah. I'll never watch Pearl Harbor. It's Michael Bay. I watched it before. I'm sure it didn't age well, Bill.
Well, the story is
the Transformers movies I was going to use as an example is he's just like...
I'm sorry, there was no Budweiser ship that went through the bay.
It's like
movie.
With him, he's just like, I shot 98% in IMAX green screen. It's like, you can polish that turd all you want, and it's still going
to
be
guys
a that's a weird thing to advertise. We shot the digital effects with a high-resolution camera. It's like, okay.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not hard to do. You can accidentally... It's like a drop-down on your 3D application that you
used to
film your stupid
movie. I know,
that's
what I thought. I was like, shut up, Michael Bay. Let Christopher Nolan film in IMAX who's competent. So
I think the problem with a lot of the CG movies, they're just doing CG just because they can. I think with any special effects, practical or otherwise, they should only be able to do what you can't do in real life. So if you want to have like crazy car wrecks and stuff like that, you can do it with practical effects. So maybe you should do it with that. But like doing like human actors and junk like that, like Disney's doing Star Wars, I think it's a massive mistake.
Yeah.
They just need to back off. Like animation in any capacity, whether it's meant to look real or not, it should only do the stuff that cameras can't do.
Oh man,
I know they could have.
Or like sets and stuff like that. You know, some of these immaculate sets that you can't build it. I mean, look at like Mad Max where they.
No, but I'm saying you combine the two, like what Jordan's talking about, because Alien Covenant was a good example of that, except for the crappy aliens, which I don't know why he did that. So it has poor choices in CG. Yeah. But they showed like the making of where you actually have like a real ship. And then like Jordan's saying is that the sails are CG, or when it's floating on there, you can CG the background. But
I have a classic CG movie that I will defend, especially with a series coming out here soon.
The Last Starfighter.
Tremors.
Oh, yeah, they're making
They're making a series, but that's a side point. But they only made one monster. The rest of it is CG.
With Tremors? Well,
with
Tremors. Fine. Like, my favorite
Tremors
movie is Starship Troopers, and it has terrible CG, but the
Tremors,
movie...
I don't think that's terrible CG.
No, but Paul Verhoeven was self-aware of what he was doing, so it holds up, because they never looked good. Like, the point of that movie was to be really campy and satirical and poop all over the source material. But a lot of movies are trying to like say, look, like Rogue One and stuff too. They're just like, we didn't need to have this character be in this movie, but we chose to waste tons of money recreating him. And then, in day one, it wasn't like 5 years later. It was day one.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like dead and hollow.
Okay. And I still enjoy my live action all through movies.
I got one that even one up Tremors. You could just go with The Mummy. Brendan Fraser's The Mummy is like the best CG in a movie besides Jurassic Park.
Yeah, they did pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say The Mummy Returns is a good, so much. Yeah, they, good example of the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's so weird. They remade a movie that used extremely modern filmmaking techniques, and they remade it with more modern film techniques and somehow made it worse.
I got one they did an amazing job on.
It's like if Eric Trump Jr. became president. Eric Trump Jr. became president, he's somehow competent.
Don't even joke about that, because...
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It didn't look bad. They spent bank on that, though. I'll bet they spent bank on it, but compared, it's not a cheap movie.
I don't like that movie anyway, so...
Really? Oh, no. Okay, it's a mediocre story. But still, the CG was... They did... That company?
It was okay, but even when you had like the super young Brad Pitt, I remember kind of being like, ugh.
Yeah, okay, but you got to admit, it was curious.
But Bill, you're not making a good case.
I made some.
I don't think David Fincher would say like, yeah, Benjamin Button, that was my best movie.
Okay, Forrest Gump. They did okay CG with that one.
Yeah, the feather at the beginning of that movie, that wasn't a real feather, you know.
Well, and right. Also, he didn't really meet JFK.
What do you mean?
That's right.
And Forrest Gump. That's a picture of Tom Hanks with John. Oh, Kennedy. Yeah.
I know. And when they green screened away his
legs.
Yeah, his legs. Yeah.
All right. Well, we probably should wrap up, though, because we have to get running. So, famous last words. Alex.
Check out the Steam sale. There's definitely a treasure there. You will find something.
Directors need to use more practical effects.
That's true. Yeah. Seriously. They need to like earn points through practical effects, and then they earn enough points they can use a little CG.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say happy Independence Day, everyone.
I think Anna wins.
Well, I love this. You can give us a call and leave a voice message. Ask us any questions at 801-896-4335. Email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Geeks Are Wired. And I also found out people are calling. They just hang up.